Epilogue. In the aftermath of the battle, the bodies of the dead were gathered and taken to the blasted hilltop where Sigmar had defeated Nagash. Nothing would ever grow there again, and the priests of Mor declared it a fitting place for the dead to be given their final rest. Night after night, the priests of all the gods spoke prayers for the dead and scattered the ashes into the River Rike, where they were carried downstream to Marburg and the open ocean. Count Marius and Princess Marika were married a month after Nagash's defeat, the ceremony attended by Sigmar, Krugar, Aloysius, Otwin, and Mercer. Claiming the injuries she had suffered at Sigurd's hands still pained her, Freya and her wounded sons returned to Three Hills to rebuild what the dead had destroyed. Though many people muttered darkly as to what the union of Jutones and Endels might mean for the Empire, Sigmar had blessed the marriage and gifted the couple with a pair of golden scepters from his treasure vaults. Wulfgar and Maeve remained in Reichdorf with Ulrich, though they decided that they would split their time between Sigmar City and Three Hills. Never again would they allow anger to get the better of them, and never again would they allow themselves to be parted with bitter words between them. Within days of the wedding at Marburg, Maeve announced to Wulfgar and Ulrich that she was with child, and the celebration that accompanied the news was more raucous than the wedding feast of Marius and Marika. Redwayne left Reichdorf within a day of the victory, leading his ravaged, self-mortifying band of madmen into the forests of the Empire. Less than 1,000 of them remained, their headlong charge into the undead costing the majority of them their lives. Sigmar had caught Redwayne as he prepared to lead his march of doom, but no words could reach the younger man. His hope had been crushed, and life now held no meaning for him. Otwin told Sigmar how the crazed Redwayne and Torbrücken had broken the siege of his castle and whipped the people of the Empire along the route of his march south into a morbid frenzy. Taking up a hook-knotted rope, Redwayne wished the Emperor well and set off into the shadowed forest with Torbrücken, leaving his heartbroken white wolves behind. Master Alaric and his dwarf warriors had sought to destroy Krell after the fire of the repaired Thunderbringer had brought him low, but Nagash's will was not the only force empowering the Dread Champion's unlife. The monstrous warrior had fought his way clear of the dwarf's vengeance and fled into the north. Too bloodied to pursue, the dwarfs had watched in bitter impotence as Krell escaped the clutches of their blades. Yet more entries were noted for the Damas Kron, the names of all the dwarfs Krell had slain. Govanon and Bison both survived the Battle of the River Rike, as it was becoming known, and returned to their forge. The Thunderbringer had been crushed in the fighting raging around Krell, but its remains had been salvaged and brought back within the city walls while the dwarfs grieved their fallen brothers. Though it was smashed beyond all hope of repair, Govanon immediately set about working out how to make newer and bigger machines. A scrap of fire powder from the misfiring barrel had been recovered from the wreckage, and the near-blind smith was optimistic he would be able to replicate it. If Master Alaric knew of this, he gave no sign, and after meeting privately with Sigmar in his longhouse, led his warriors in solemn procession to the east. The loss of his hand affected him deeply, and as Sigmar watched the mountain folk return to their homeland, he sensed a great melancholy within Alaric. Sigmar returned Nagash's crown to High Priestess Alessa, and bade her take it far from the Empire. Somewhere its evil power would be unable to corrupt men's souls. With a group of iron-willed warriors, Alessa left Reichdorf and rode into the east, never to return. Of all the warriors who had fought for Sigmar, Alfgeir carried the burden of victory more than most. Though many men and women had been dreadfully wounded in the fighting, the loss of his arm cut the Marshal of the Reich far deeper than the flesh. His eyes never regained their normal colour, and no fire could warm his skin. 6 months to the day after the battle's end, Alfgeir rode a white horse into the north toward a frozen lake, where he met a fur-cloaked warrior with two wolves at his side. Wenild and Sigmar watched him go, and the Emperor knew that a stronger compulsion than duty to Reichdorf called to his old friend. As Alfgeir vanished over the hillside, Sigmar bade Wenald farewell and made his way into the depths of the frozen forest to the west of Reichdorf. The cathedral of evergreen trees was a shimmering winter garden of glistening icicles and stillness. Walking paths he had not taken in years, he made his way to a peaceful hollow where weeping willows drooped with a weight of snow and ice on their branches. A gurgling waterfall spilled into a wide pool, and a simple headstone was set at its edge. He touched the headstone and looked to the east. "Soon, my love," said Sigmar. "Soon." God King was written by Graham McNeil and read by Martin Ellis. It was produced by Heavy Entertainment for Black Library. This work is copyrighted by Games Workshop Limited, 2010. All rights reserved.